Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 23rd of July, recording at 8:55 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, very strong overall, with the exception being Japan, which is the main exception more often than not. Although Australia was also off its high, although I'd expect it to perform better tomorrow. And the European stock market started down, so despite Asia's strength, including China, the European markets were more influenced by the subprime concerns that have been weighing, well, that weighed on Wall Street on Friday and have been weighing on Europe for a while longer, plus their concerns over the strong euro, perhaps. And Wall Street, though, came in strong and got stronger, and that lifted the European markets, which closed near the highs of the day. And with less than 5 minutes to go now, Wall Street shows some pretty good gains. Dow's up 86. It has been up over 117, I think, at one stage. But it's good performance. So no downside follow through after Friday's weakness overall. Again, despite all the concerns, long-dated government bonds taking a bit of a breather in here today, but they're mostly unchanged. And they had rallied last week. And the dollar steadied a little bit in here today. And actually, it's near the highs of the day. We have, but remember how much pressure it's been under. And we see the US dollar index at 80.35, that's up 63 ticks. The euro has slipped to 138 after touching a new all-time high at 138.45. And the dollar has rallied against the Swissie to 120.70. The Australian and New Zealand currencies, Canadian currency, are all stronger against the U.S. dollar, although off their highs. And precious metals eased in here today. Gold currently down 140 as I speak at 682. That's bullion. And platinum, which has been the steadiest, down 4.7. here. So modest declines. Industrial metals were all down today. Nickel reversing sharply. So if it's bottoming, and I suspect it probably is above this 30,000 level, but it'll need a support building process. That's the suggestion there. Lead also down. I think probably $3,500 is enough in terms of the 3-month price. That looks overextended. But again, the general tone of these metals, nickel accepted, has been really quite firm. And the soft commodities mixed to down here today. And crude oil, which I missed out on last but not least. Now, crude oil is currently down 81 cents as I speak. That's at 74.98. But the big hit was in natural gas. Down 403 ticks. That brings it back to 6.043 for the first month contract. So that's quite a substantial decline in natural gas. Okay, so what's going on here? Overall, well, stock markets, Asia and the resources markets, and some of the resources markets are Asian, particularly thinking now of Indonesia, also Thailand. They are just steaming away on the upside. And China's had a couple of very good days on the upside. And I wonder if China isn't going to take out the top, that you're talking about now, the Shanghai A-share index. I wonder if that isn't now going to take out the higher side of its range, or if not now, fairly soon. It's always been a contention of mine for at least 3 years that China would want one of the world's strongest, if not the strongest, stock markets in the years run up to the Beijing Olympics in August 2008. So it would be timely to, if I'm correct in this assumption, it would be timely for them to let the China index levitate upwards behind the captive money, which has fueled the rise to date, of course, and somewhat bubbly conditions. Now, the rest of the China sphere doing very well. Taiwan looks terrific. All those North Asian markets are doing exceptionally well, except for Japan. Now, the Achilles heel for Japan, well, maybe it has lots of them, but the bank sector is way underperforming. That's been the case all along. That's what's made me very cautious about Japan and kept me from going in and playing that market. Whereas if you look at banks in Taiwan storming ahead throughout this rally, Thailand, very similar, Taiwan, very, very similar. And India, the banks have been strong as India has broken upwards and out of its range. And it had a terrific day here today. So those markets look really exceptional. I mentioned that the developed resources markets, really Canada, it's down today, down a bit here today, but has done awfully well recently. Brazil, probably the best of all, and I wouldn't be surprised if Australia broke up out of its current trading range this week. So downside risk, in my view, remains limited to the somewhat larger reactions, but I've mentioned ever since that February reaction, which was a little mini meltdown, that I felt that the reactions would probably be less dramatic than that and more of a ranging nature. And modesty prevents me from saying, well, that's exactly what we've seen. Now, looking at government bonds, we've still got the technical rally going here. A little bit of a pause here today, but these are taking their cue from stock market sentiment as much as anything else. Now, the bonds I'm looking at are mainly Western, looking at the gilts, the bunds, the US Treasuries. I also look at the Australian fairly frequently, and that's following the ones I to the Western markets I just mentioned. And the JGBs move more or less in line with those as well. And they've kind of been taking their cue from the stock market sentiment, which has recently reflected a lot of these concerns over the CDOs and the subprime loans. And understandably, understandably so. But what I'm trying to say here is that if stock markets shrug off those fears and rally strongly, then I think you'll see long-dated government bond yields back up once again. Probably not too dramatically. Conversely, if we were to see the European and North American stock markets weaken over the next few weeks, I have little doubt that we would see those long-dated government bond yields in their respective sectors come down. So, say they'll take their cue from stock markets and stock market sentiment. And overall, that sector is in a bear phase, whereas overall equities are in a bull phase. Now, in terms of currencies, the story all along this year is and beyond of course, is that we have two weak currencies, the Japanese yen and the US dollar. And recently, the dollar has been even, well, I'm talking about when I say recently, the last 2 or 3 weeks, the US dollar has been even weaker than the minimal yielding Japanese yen. Now, I expect these to remain the two weaker currencies overall. As far as the dollar is concerned, it's looking slightly overstretched on the downside, and a lot of people are talking about a dollar rally. I think they'd dearly love to see a dollar rally so that they could sell it again. I think it's probably pretty much dead cat bounce territory. I don't think we're going to get any kind of meaningful dollar rally here. I think that the fundamentals are too strongly against it. And everybody knows that Bernanke's not going to be raising interest rates here anytime soon. But equally, he's not going to be cutting interest rates with the Dow trading just below the 14,000 level. If Wall Street were to take a mini swan dive, I think he'd get ready to press the interest rate cut button. But Wall Street's not doing that. Right now, although it had a sharpish day on the downside on Friday, as you know, it's reversed part of that in here today. Okay, and the crude oil sector, petroleum sector. Now, I think we're going to see resistance here near the former highs. You've already seen it with gasoline, we've seen it with heating oil. I suspect we'll see it with crude oil run into resistance near last year's highs. That can hardly be surprising. Also, natural gas is quite weak here overall. So that suggests to me a little bit of respite, certainly in terms of natural gas, if not respite in terms of the gasoline and the heating oil and the crude oil price itself, then what we do see is a pause in the upward grind that we had been seeing, where really until very, very recently, I think crude oil hadn't seen two down days in a row since early May. I've mentioned that before. So look for a pause in here, and with the soft commodities off the boil here, most of them at any rate, that means that the food price inflation is not likely to heat up as much as we keep reading that it will do so in the papers. The press is still running behind on this story. Now, prices went up and up and up and up, and then the press got very excited, and it went from a page 18 to a page 1 story. But the prices are easing, so expect that the food price inflation to slip back a little bit further. So what I'm saying is that we're still in this lull here in the inflationary pressures. And anything else to mention? Nope. So, I will just bid you adieu and say all the very best. Roll on tomorrow.